What's going through my mind? Excitement. I love football season. I'm so happy because that lets you know basketball is right around the corner.
Gives it up. Now Carroll fires. Hits a three.
Everybody's going to learn something new this year. We're putting in new stuff, so everybody's at the same level.
Here's James Johnson exploding. Oh, man. With an absolutely monstrous jam. Yeah.
Wow. That was ridiculous.
That was nasty, right? I cocked that joint back and banged on him.
We got next. This is Free Association with Dave Zarum and J.D. Bunkus.
Welcome to Free Association, the day after Media Day special.
So exciting.
Did that work for you?
Yeah, it works for me. Basketball is close.
This is SportsCenter's weekly Raptors and NBA podcast. And yeah, we're that much closer to actual basketball being played once again. We're taping this on a Tuesday. Media Day was on Monday. We got a ton of great stuff for you from Media Day. We're going to hear from, you heard a taste of it off the top. We're going to hear from James Johnson. We're going to hear from Luis Scola. Plus, I'm very excited about this, JD. We have the first FAQs of the 2015-2016 season. That's the Free Association questionnaire with DeMar DeRozan and Terrence Ross.
We got them with everybody. And the best part about it is that our man Evan Rosser helps out with that. So I don't have to hear them until they're live on the podcast, which is always really exciting for me. I hear them when you
fresh
hear
ears,
them.
Yeah.
I'm so excited. But yeah, Media Day. It was fun.
It was
New
Jersey. It was pretty cool. It was a great vibe. Everyone, you know, on Media Day, everyone's in a good mood. You know, I was talking to Rosser.
Even Kyle Lowry.
Kyle Lowry was like downright jovial. He was clowning around.
We got some cool hijacked clips with him. Kyle Lowry. Like that, it's a skinny guy with a good attitude all of a sudden.
What was that? I think Patrick Patterson said it's like his evil twin or something.
This guy, except for the opposite, basically.
Yeah, it's his good twin.
It's his good twin.
But yeah, he's looking great. We'll talk about that. Everyone is in a great mood. It's like if you were to get that group of people in a room like that, it was at the Air Canada Center's practice gym after like a losing road trip, the atmosphere would be like venomous. It would be toxic. And this was just the total opposite. Everyone was just in a great mood, really, really chatty, really talkative. You can tell everyone's ready to get the season started. And I'm ready to get this show started. So do you want to?
Yeah, I think it's fun. Like you see new bodies, new jerseys, smiles.
The jerseys. What do you think about the jerseys?
Okay, like you and I both stood at the very beginning of at the day, and the first guy started coming in. I think the first guy that came in was DeMar.
Yeah.
And we both looked at each other right away and were like, those look a lot better in person.
Yeah, when you see them, I think when they first released it, they had them kind of draped over hangers in the locker room, like mocked up like that.
Well, the first thing I think we saw were like from a video game.
Yeah, that's right. The 2K.
Yeah, they were like, hey, this is the leak. And it's like, ew.
They looked
sharp.
I don't know. No, like, but the first impression, though. Like,
oh, the first impression was not good.
It was kind of rough. It looked a little, I don't know, just like.
It just looked plain. It looked very
different,
like,
but not in a good way.
Yeah.
When you saw them in person on the guys, it really looked cool. They were clean. They were slick.
Although we didn't see the logo. We didn't see the Drake jerseys.
No. How many times do you think we're going to see those this year?
Oh, I think a solid handful.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah. Like 7 times.
Really?
Yeah. Over, what do you think? You know, first of all, what happens if they win in them?
That's
like the Blue Jays, where it's like they don't wear the grays anymore because they don't win in the grays.
I figured that we would see a couple times, and those are mostly just for sales. Like those ones are going to fly off the show.
Yeah. Either way, they look great.
Saw the white ones at Media Day. They look really cool. But we also heard from a lot of the guys, like I said. So let's get right to it. I really enjoyed this one. We spoke to James Johnson. Talked about his MMA career, talked about his role with the Raptors, advice for young players. I think he's ready for a big season if he can get on the floor. We'll talk about that with James Johnson coming up right now.
Hi, this is Muggsy Bogues. When I wake up in the morning, I'm listening to Free Association.
A city full of people, and my favorite is that waitress. And she treats me like some type of common vagrant. I see her every day, but there's nothing to say unless I decide to step inside of that cafe. I only get to sit if I buy something to eat. Otherwise, it's best to keep my feet moving down that street.
And all right, you're listening to Free Association. We're still here live from Media Day, joined now by James Johnson. Thanks for taking the time, dude. How you doing?
No problem. Well. Happy to get started.
So the first thing we got to ask you, we want to know how you got into martial arts.
His dad's like a 100-time world champ.
eight time. But yeah, it was a big family thing. And
your mom too, right?
Everybody in my family. We've been doing this since I was 4 or 5. So
one thing I want to know about that, well, a couple things. One is I heard you say like
when you're in the cage, that's the biggest adrenaline rush you could possibly get. But I'm thinking back to last year, like your dunk on Drummond, how would that kind of thing compare?
As a first round knockout.
But like it's the same kind of like after is it the same feeling as like as a first round knockout?
Yeah, of course, yeah. Of course. You know, you felt like you triumphed or you trumped that opponent, that situation.
So if we're gonna set up a pay-per-view, Dave and I are promoters, and you got to pick one guy who you're like, this guy says the best chance, he's the best opponent for me in a fight.
Zach Randolph.
Oh, Z-Bo.
Good one. Does he have any MMA experience, you know?
Nah, he's just a real one. I played with him in Memphis, and yeah. I love that man. So, you know, like out of everybody, I feel like him and Tony Allen probably give me the best go at me.
He's great. And Zach is doing that work, or he used to, with Hell's Trainer down in Memphis, which is like insane work. The sprints of the Sandhills and everything. Okay, so you look around on the team, a bunch of new additions, but also on the coaching staff, some things have changed. One name that really sticks out for us, because we're of the age where we would have watched this guy in his prime,
is Jerry Stackhouse.
First of all, I heard he's been joining you guys on like 5-on-5 scrimmages, and he's been looking pretty solid still.
Still the Jerry Stackhouse that everybody knows.
Did you watch him growing up?
I did, obviously. You know, big ACC fan.
Yeah.
And not just that, but me going playing with the Atlanta Hawks for a little bit. He was there on the coach staff a little bit. So I got to work out with him a lot during the summer. Right after Atlanta cut me, you know, I was still there for at least like 2.5-3 weeks.
Yeah.
And Stackhouse took it on his own to call me up and tell me, let's just get some work in outside the Hawks arena and stuff like that. So went up towards his house in Atlanta, and we worked out every day at the regular fitness gym.
Yeah, one of my first memories of college basketball actually was that Slam magazine profiling him and Rasheed on the same team and being really into that. Just,
both them dudes are crazy.
Those good times. We'd be remiss if we didn't ask you. You know, you've probably been asked 1,000 times about your role with this team going forward, but was there one message that the coaching staff kind of gave you going into this season that kind of told you a little bit about your role or what they wanted from you this year?
Nah, you know, pretty much know what my role is. You know, defend the perimeter, rebound, play hard, opportunity, score. You know, I've been working a lot on my game, and I know, Casey, you've seen a lot of my improvements. You know, I'm making the game easier, so, you know, hopefully the hard work pays off and you can get a different role, but if not, I'm comfortable with where I'm at.
Is there one area you worked on the most this summer?
Just my jump shot, really.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't about me not being able to make it as much as not being as consistent. So now I found a foundation to go back to, me and Jamma, another coach on our team.
Yeah.
And I think that the whole summer's productive.
I got to ask you about this guy here, Anthony Bennett.
Right.
Well, first of all, I saw you last week at the Raptors 905 tryouts, and you had some cool advice for guys. You're saying, you know, you want to get noticed, check guys full court, you know, basically telling how to make an impact on a coach, on a coaching staff. You've been through a lot, like ups and downs in your career already. Seeing a guy like Bennett go through the same thing, what kind of advice would you give him if you had to?
Just don't break. You know, there's going to be a lot of bending in this organization, and the league is a dog-eat-dog. You just can't break. You got to know yourself, be confident with yourself, and never give up the fight. You know, you work hard to get here. You got to work harder to stay.
Yeah, it's cool to say. All right, appreciate it, man. This is Free Association. That was James Johnson.
Was it ever.
Thanks to Double J, if anyone calls him that, for taking the time to talk with us.
He likes doing like the three in front of the J. I'm guessing that he's got...
That's his jersey number.
I know, but he does the three. He does the three over the... Or in front of the two J's, though. So I think he's 3JJ.
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 All right.
Either way, standing in front of the guy, like he's a terrifying human being. And hearing him talk about MMA and the rush, and like, it's just like,
well, first of all,
you can't help but think about him murdering you.
Listen, the fact that you can pick one guy in the NBA to go in a cage against, and he picked Zach Randolph, like that's probably the last guy I would choose. It tells you, like, obviously, James Johnson, he's undefeated in his MMA career.
He did say Tony Allen, though, as well.
Did he?
Yeah, he followed up saying Tony Allen would be the other guy.
Well, either way, it tells you where he's at with his comfort level and his mixed martial arts.
Well, I was gonna say he's a true martial artist. Like, he doesn't want
he's undefeated. I mean, I don't
he doesn't
want to
stand in there against Luke Ridnour.
I don't think he's had a fight since he's been in the NBA, because I can't imagine a team would contractually allow him to do that. But before that, he was undefeated. One crazy James Johnson, like, athletic feat.
fight related tidbit I want to share. I was talking to Bruno after about, because Bruno Caboclo is a big, huge MMA guy. You know, he was like giddy at the fact that he got to hang out with Vitor Belfort this summer and stuff like that.
Of course, he's a Brazilian legend.
Yeah, exactly. But he was telling me like during a practice last year, Johnson kicked the rim.
Yeah, I've heard that story.
Like, you know, like when you jump up, kind of scissor your legs and kick. He kicked the rim. Like, I can't do that.
I can't kick above this desk, which is not waist high.
Yeah, like I just recently been able to touch my toes, and that's
pretty good. That's kind of impressive. A couple takeaways from the James Johnson stuff, though. We talked to him about the role. I mean, you and I discussed it going into the interview.
That's
the big question
around him.
Yeah, and but we were saying, like, this guy's been asked this question time and time again. How can we phrase it? And there's just really no way around it. It's that he's an advanced metrics darling. Like, all the advanced stats kind of show that players get a boost when James Johnson's on the floor, that he's a plus defender, that he's actually a sneaky good passer. He's a good rebounder. He's a good defender. But last year, he struggled to carve out a role where he was on the floor consistently. And a lot of fans were up in arms because the team didn't rebound well and they didn't defend well. And
you
your guy that...
A rebounder and a defender sitting on the bench.
And he's just never playing. But we talked to him about Anthony Bennett. And I think that the signing only muddies things for James Johnson, right? Like...
Well, with Johnson, it's interesting, and that's a cool point. I want to come back to that. But with Johnson, it's really interesting because for him, it's all about, and I guess this is the same for every player, but it seems like it's been a particularly significant issue with him. It's all about gaining your coach's trust, having your coach knowing what you're going to do when you're on the floor. And right. I think when he's on the floor, he's kind of a mystery. Like Casey doesn't know what to expect from him, and that's not a comfortable feeling when you're the coach.
Sure. I just, you know what, though? I feel like... I mean, you're not in the ins and outs of the room and you don't see everything in practice and everything that goes on behind the scenes. But from what I watch, when I watch James Johnson, I don't find him to be this guy that's always forcing it or looking for shots.
He's
a very opportunistic player and he knows that. And I don't have a problem with every once in a while. Like, I mean, you don't want your offense being facilitated through James Johnson. But if he can attack the basket and draw a foul or take a finish, fine. If he's open for a 15-foot jump shot, he can take that every once in a while.
I think part of the deal with Johnson, and you're totally right, like he does, on the whole, like he's more of a plus than he is a negative. And I think his minutes should reflect that, whether they do or not, we'll see. But the thing with him, it's similar to, you know, I mentioned Bruno Caboclo, and it's a similar kind of thing where this guy's got so many tools. Mm-hmm. It's like sometimes that makes it harder to know which ones to use when. Does that make sense?
Of course. And I just think that, from what I've seen of James Johnson, it seems that he uses those tools, he uses them correctly more often than he doesn't.
And
his minutes haven't reflected that. And now they bring in Damari Carroll, who, and we've talked about this before on the pod, where it's like, I think what the Raptors really like, and even talking last week with Jesse Mermis about the types of guys that they're bringing in for the D-League, are guys that are...
Versatility.
Versatility is king for this team. They want guys who can play multiple positions. And James Johnson's one of those guys where he can play the three, he can play the four. But now you bring in Damari Carroll, who basically fits that exact role, except for he's a three-point threat. He's going to log a ton of minutes. Like, you and I both
they're
agree.
Rely
like
they're going to on him heavily.
Exactly.
He's going to be a huge part of this.
They're going to play Damari Carroll a lot, especially considering that the four position, which we'll get to a little bit later, isn't crystal clear exactly what's going to happen at that four spot. So he's pushed back a little further by that. I'm sure they want to see a little bit more from Terrence Ross this season, and they need to give him minutes, or they need to see what they have in Terrence Ross.
Yeah, whether it's to decide whether you want to bring him back and sign him, whether you want to trade him,
exactly.
Whatever. You need to know what you have.
He's more important to the franchise going forward than James Johnson.
Ross has quietly become like the biggest mystery on this
right.
team.
Right, he's an important piece. You have to know what you have. Then all of a sudden they bring in Anthony Bennett.
Yeah, okay, so I'm glad you came back to this.
And if you're James Johnson, thinking so now those few minutes that I was going to get at the four spot, those small ball four lineups, you're going to go with the guy who can shoot and the guy that can run in transition over me. Mm-hmm. Where do James Johnson's minutes fit in? I don't really see a lot of lineup situations when I go through it in my head where he's on the floor.
Now, this is where we differ. I don't particularly view Anthony Bennett as a threat to James Johnson's minutes or to really any forwards' minutes on this team. I think he's a long way from earning any kind of serious playing time with the big league team. I wouldn't be surprised at all if we saw Anthony Bennett log a ton of minutes with the Raptors 905. You know, when you look at the signing of Bennett, it's a no-brainer on the Raptors' part because it's super low risk, 1 year minimum deal, and the upside is huge because we know what kind of talent he has. If he doesn't realize that talent, you let him walk. If he does, you try to bring him back or do something else with him. But the other reason why I think it's smart of the Raptors to bring this guy on is that he's a huge window to selling major tickets for your new team in Mississauga.
I honestly don't think
like he's
going to
attract
here.
Fans. You don't think he'll attract fans to 905?
No, I think he would, but I don't think he's going to play there ever. If you look at the Raptors roster, like there's nobody that's like bumping him off.
See, I hear that, but I think you're going to get in the same position that we saw with like Bruno last year, which is like, what's better for, because Bennett's a player you have to develop. He's not a finished product by any means. So what's going to be better for his development? Sitting on the bench, traveling with the NBA team, which he's already done. He's got that NBA kind of experience, which is what they kept saying was important for Bruno, just to be around that environment, whether you're playing or not. Bennett's been around that environment for a few years now. What he needs is consistent playing time.
I agree. That's why I'm surprised that he came to Toronto. I just don't think that he's keen on going to the D-League.
He might not be keen on it, but...
I don't see... I think that...
And you know what? He should be keen on it, because that's going to be...
Sure, but I just think that his discussions with the team before he signed here, I can't imagine. I mean, honestly, I hope you're right. Mm-hmm. I really do. I think that... I agree with you. I think that the best thing for Bennett right now would be go down to the D-League, dominate like you did for Team Canada, continue to grow your confidence, continue to establish your role, work on your defense, work on your footwork, get better, play a lot.
Yeah.
I just don't see it happening. And I do think that they're going to take a look at what they've got with him with the big club from time to time. And I just, the way that the NBA is shifting, like we've talked about this before, I think Bennett has a skill set that works there, and the Raptors are going to try to use that at some point in the season.
Well, one guy who we know the Raptors are going to use a lot during the season is DeMar DeRozan. Obviously, this guy's probably the go-to player on this team.
I don't know if I agree with that.
I know it's controversial.
It
I'm
is.
Really putting my neck out there saying that. But, you know, I want to get to the FAQ we have with DeRozan, but he has
some
interesting stuff.
I'm more of a Shannon
stuff.
Scott guy. That's what I think they're trending towards.
Axel Toupain.
Yeah, like they're going more to
There's
Scott.
There's some position battles in training
there,
camp.
There is. There's some serious competition going
may
on.
Or may not get back
DeMar's
to
got to work.
But yeah, so DeMar had some interesting things to say. You know, when we had Masai on our show last week, he spoke about DeMar, and I got to be honest, like the news wires really picked up on that. Like here in Canada, also in the States, you know, we saw NBC, SI, they were all running with Masai's quote from our show. And I
of
was,
of course,
but I, well, it's a great show, but I was a little surprised because I mean, it's like, I thought that was, I don't want to say obvious, but like what alternative was there? Of course they're going to let DeMar ride this one out. Of course they're not going to negotiate
yes,
during
yes,
the season.
Yes, but it's still different when the actual GM
when
of the team
it.
Makes it official. It's all good to have speculation. It's yeah. all good to be obvious. But when you hear it, it is what it is. And yes, okay,
so.
let's be honest,
so,
though.
So
let's
obvious.
Be honest. Some publications that we did see were teasing it as though like...
That they're not going to sign him, period.
Well, and not just that, but like using it as though... People didn't realize that he's, of course, they can't give him the deal that he wants in season.
Exactly.
So they're writing it as though, like, DeMar doesn't want to negotiate in season. It's like, that's not what Masai said. He says that it's not feasible for DeMar to do it in season. So so why would he do it?
It doesn't make sense for either side to do it.
He spoke about it yesterday, though.
He did. I believe we have a clip of it.
No, not at all. Unless y'all bring it up. Not at all. Go out there and play when it's time for whatever it's time for, negotiate, whatever. And I deal with that then, but, you know, I honestly don't think about it.
So they asked him, are you going to be thinking about your deal in season this year? And are you going to be focused on it? He goes, no. And then he says, unless y'all bring it up. And like, sorry, Bar, like, newsflash, you're the face of the franchise, man. Like, people are going to bring it up. People are going to wonder whether or not you're going to be with the Raptors beyond this season. And I know that I understand players' standpoints and stuff like this. When contract negotiations are up, it's a pivotal thing for them, especially a guy like DeMar who's about to get paid. Like, he's on the cusp of getting a huge deal, and he doesn't want people bringing it up every day. Of course he doesn't. Like, it's a major year for him, and he's got a huge decision in front of him. That being said, there's a massive We the North fan base that wants to know where DeMar DeRozan's going to be after this season, especially if he has a great campaign.
Yeah, it's going to continue to be a question. I mean, what I got from that is him saying, you know, I'm going to just focus on playing ball and let you guys worry about...
Of course, and that's what he has to say. I'm just saying that it's going to come up, man.
It will come up. You know, this, like, watching the reaction to Masai's quote on our show last week really is kind of illuminating in terms of how, like, today's news cycle works. You take one little clip and it becomes a whole other animal. But that's the life we live in. That's the world we live in.
A lot of deep
media,
stuff.
Gotta love it.
Tune into his other podcast. You know,
but DeMar DeRozan had some other things to say with us that was, frankly, a lot more exciting than
it's a different tone, and I'm excited to hear it.
Totally different tone. If you listened to the show a few weeks ago, you heard the FAQ, frequently asked questions. No, sorry. Free association questionnaire. It's a double meaning kind of thing. With Robert Sacre and Kia Nurse. So we posed the same questionnaire with some new twists to the Raptors. We're going to hear from DeMar DeRozan right now.
Asking the tough questions the other shows are too scared to ask. It's Free Association Quiz with
DeMar DeRozan.
What's your favorite thing you can only get in Canada?
Poutine.
Do you have anybody's autograph?
I think I have a signed Shaq something at home. I was a kid. I was real young.
Say you start losing your hair. I'm going to give you three options. You go with a Donald Trump toupee, you get transplants, or just shave it clean?
Might try the transplants first, then if that don't work, just shave it off.
Do you collect anything?
Shoes. Retro Jordans.
Nicki Minaj or Taylor Swift?
Taylor Swift.
What would your last meal be?
My last meal? Roscoe's Chicken and Waffles.
If you were a supervillain, what would be your plan for world domination?
The same thing Bane had on Batman.
What's the last song you got caught singing?
Last song I got caught singing had to be a Drake song or something.
You want to give us a taste? What it sounded like?
I can't, no. I'm not even going to embarrass myself.
In a zombie apocalypse, who on the Raptors survives the longest?
Probably me.
If you had to pick just one basketball highlight clip to get you jacked up for a game, what would it be?
Jordan dunking on Patrick Ewing.
Good stuff from DeMar. The Jordan on Patrick Ewing, that's an interesting one, but I would go with Scottie Pippen over Ewing. You know what I'm talking about? That's the Ewing dunk.
There's so many things from that for me not to... I don't even consider that. First of all, last meal, chicken and waffles. That would be in my consideration as well. First of all, chicken and waffles, the first time I heard of the concept.
Have you had Roscoe's? I've never had Roscoe's. That's the famous joint.
Have not.
Out in L.A.
I will say, though.
Mars hometown.
Haven't. Like, the first time I heard it, I was like, that's disgusting. Who would eat that? And you've eaten it, right? You've eaten chicken and waffles?
Of course.
Delicious. Unbelievably good. Best places in Toronto, I think, that have them. School. Really like them there.
I hope they're paying the show for these plugs.
Okay, fine. I'll save all the other places.
Line my pocket, or let's move on. You know what I'm saying?
that was really good. I can't remember what Bane's real plan was. He just kind of took over the city.
Throw
right?
Batman
like
in jail, in prison.
Like break Batman's back in a sewer, and then that was your
cool
move.
I love these things because you really do like. Yeah, the questions are pretty ridiculous, but Poutine. You really do get a different side of these guys.
What else was there? There's one thing. Oh, of course he collects shoes. Everybody, have you seen DeMar DeRozan's shoe collection? It's absurd.
Yeah, it's crazy. The Shaq autograph. It's all good.
I also had a Shaq autograph.
Do you?
I did. You know?
Did you meet him?
No. So my uncle lives out in L.A. and he once sent me a Shaq autograph, the notarized thing, or not notarized, but the authenticized thing. And I'm like, oh, it was really cool.
Is that your coolest autograph?
The thing is, I lost it. I don't know what happened to it. But no, my coolest autograph is I have Larry Bird on an old Hoops magazine framed in my room. So I
say 2JD.
No.
Best wishes, XO.
I wish it did. Also, my dad has a basketball that's signed by the entire 1986 Celtics championship team, which
is
very
impressive.
Cool. Yeah, it is. It's very cool. But yeah, DeMar, thanks for doing that. That was funny.
That was really cool. And also that voice you heard asking the questions, Evan Roster, like you mentioned off the top. So thanks to Evan for doing that. But there's more, because we also got on this show Terrence Ross taking his turn at the FAQ.
Asking the tough questions the other shows are too scared to ask. It's Free Association Quiz with
Terrence Ross.
What's your favorite thing you can only get in Canada?
My favorite thing I can only get in Canada, Tim Hortons. I like the breakfast sandwiches. I like the 10 bits. Those are my favorite. I feel like I can't find it anywhere else, so my 10 bits is the best.
Do you have anybody's autograph?
Not that I can think of.
Tell me about the first time you ever dunked.
First time I ever dunked, it was 7th grade in the AAU game, and I had just learned to dunk like a couple days before. And I just got a steal on a fast break, like the end of the game. I went up. I remember I had my eyes closed, and it was like a barely rim grazer type, you know, just kind of muscled it in over the top. Everybody went crazy, and ever since then, I just never looked back.
What's the worst job you've ever had in your life?
When I was younger, living in California, I was probably like 11, 12. I had a job cleaning people's backyards, and where I lived, it was like a desert type area, so it was nothing but like concrete bricks, dirt, cardboards. I had to clean all that up, and I get like $20 at the end of the day.
Do you collect anything?
Do I collect anything? I collect shoes. I got a lot of Jordans. That's kind of my thing. When I grew up, I didn't have any shoes, so growing up, I always saw people with the nice shoes and nice Nikes and, you know, all that, so that's what I kind of collect today.
What would your last meal be?
My last meal would be steak, potatoes, and shrimp.
If you were a supervillain, what would be your plan for world domination?
Mind control. That'd be my plan.
What's the last song you got caught singing?
Last song I got caught singing? I think No More Mr. Nice Guy by Alice Cooper. Yeah, random. Super random.
In a zombie apocalypse, who on the Raptors survives the longest?
Honestly, I would say James. James Johnson, the black belt and survivalist and everything.
If you could add one event to All-Star Weekend, what would it be?
Honestly, I think it would be just a race between all the fastest point guards in the league, between like John Wall, Kemba Walker, and I don't know, Tony Parker, I don't know. See who's fastest in the league.
Do you have a prediction for who would win?
I would take John. John is probably the fastest dude in the league to me.
What's the best play of your career so far?
Free. Yeah. Dunk on Kevin Free.
Okay, I have a few things here I want to just quickly run down.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Number one is basketball players collect shoes. This is news to me.
Yeah, it seems like a bit of a trend.
This is shocking development as a basketball fan that guys who play basketball like the shoes. Also, so if you and I are in a pitch meeting and I'm like, hey, Dave, like, hey, you know what? We should take over the world. And you just spout, mind control. I'm going to think you're insane. That's not a plan. That's just a thing. Like that's not like you're missing some steps. I mean, thank you for the answer, Terrence. I'm just gonna point that out. That's not really a plan. Also, I really love breakfast sandwiches. They're really good. I don't think they're very good for you. I don't think eating like a English muffin with a turkey patty on it with cheese at 9 a.m. is good.
He must have like a freak metabolism.
Oh yeah.
That stuff's garbage.
Oh, it's so bad every time I eat it. Just like, oh, this can't be good for me. And like in the morning too, it's just not right. I also think JJ would survive longest in the zombie apocalypse.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of a no-brainer.
Hey, what about the John Wall thing? You think he's definitely...
Yeah, I agree
first
with
all,
that
I love thing. The idea of just a straight-up foot race. Just
yeah,
keep
I do
it
too.
Simple.
But shoes or no shoes? I would run no shoes.
Whatever.
You wouldn't have preference?
No.
Okay, I got to ask you though. What
really
was your
don't.
Worst job?
My worst job?
Yeah.
Oh, I've had a
this
bunch.
One?
I've had a lot. Yeah, this is pretty high up there.
I was going to say, you have to spend a decent amount of time with me.
Yeah, I might have to go with this moment right here.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've done carpet cleaning. I've worked in warehouses. I've had some crappy jobs.
Yeah, I've worked as a mover. And like, there's some fun times with that, but that's not a great job. Worst part about being a mover is that anybody else who moves is like, oh, do you want to do that thing that you're underpaid for and that you hate on the weekends too?
Yeah, exactly. Everyone's moving on the weekends. Terrence Ross. Thank you for that. That was cool.
Oh, I love those.
Yeah, the dunk one for Reed. Underrated Terrence Ross move is, you know, when he went kind of up and under against the Nets.
Can't believe he didn't say 51 points, though. I know it's not a play, but it's like, he scored 51 points, bro.
And also, it's disappointing that he doesn't have any cool autographs. What's up with that? The guy's around famous people all the time.
I don't really get the autographs thing. Also, you were all baby earlier. I was like, we went off mic, and he's like, oh, I also have some cool autographs. I just didn't want to say because you didn't ask me.
No, I didn't want to be a one-upper. Yeah. Nobody likes a one-upper.
What do you have, Dave?
Shout out Adam Carolla. I got Happy Birthday, David, signed by Robbie Alomar on a baseball.
That's cool.
I got to Dave, Feed Your Brain, Bret Hart.
Yeah, we've gone over that before. That's an amazing one.
That's a great one.
Feed Your Brain.
I got a bunch of ones. I got too many to count. What can I say? So I want to move this along because we also spoke to Luis Scola on Media Day on Monday.
That we did.
one of the newest Raptors. We just saw him kill it for Argentina at the FIBA Americas this summer, which is becoming kind of a regular occurrence whenever he throws on that Argentina jersey. But I figure he's going to be actually a bigger part of this team than I originally expected, the more I think about it. Anyways, we spoke to Luis about his role, about this upcoming season, coming to Toronto, all that good stuff. So let's get right to it.
Hi, this is Chuck Swirsky, voice of the Chicago Bulls. You're listening to Free Association. Onions, baby onions!
It's a shame the way you mess around with the man. It's a shame the way you hurt me. It's a shame the way you mess around with the man. I'm sitting all alone by the telephone, waiting for your call.
All right, you're listening to Free Association. We are live from Media Day. I guess technically live on tape from Media Day. We're here with Luis Scola, one of the newest Raptors. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Thank you.
No problem. Glad to have you here. A bit of a circus around here, but we appreciate you taking the time nonetheless. I guess right off the bat, I mean, an obvious question we'd ask about this summer. Killing it at FIBAs, got the gold medal, you're shattering records.
MVP.
MVP, of course. The simple question, like, what is it about that tournament that you play so well? Or even just when you put on that national team jersey, what's going on?
I don't think I do anything different for the tournament versus other tournaments or the NBA. It's just, you know, the tournament is a little challenging, and you got to prepare in a particular way, and I've been doing it for a lot of years, so I think I kind of have an idea how to prepare for the tournament, how to be ready to play those type of tournaments. And I think that gives me a little bit of an edge. And also my role is different.
Yeah.
You know, so sure. That gives me more opportunities, more playing time, more times the ball in my hands, more shots. So all those things create a good situation for me to succeed.
Earlier in your career, when you were kind of jumping from the NBA to that tournament, was it hard adjusting? Like, you're used to it now. Was it hard kind of flipping that switch?
I don't think, because the thing was, like, I started playing the tournament, and my first tournament was in 99.
Well, okay.
So it was like eight years before my yeah. first NBA season. So I was used to play that way, mm-hmm. to go back and forth from the team to a few tournament. It is adjustment when you play the whole year in the NBA, and then you go back there, the rules change,
yeah, exactly.
and your role change.
The style is
different. The styles, you play 10 games in 13 days.
Yeah.
There was 1 year we played 10 games in 11 days. And we play in the altitude this year. The
yeah.
refs are from different countries. So there is an adjustment. And I think at first it was hard, and it was something I struggled with. And now it's something that is to my advantage,
yeah.
because I have been playing so many years, and we have to play with kids that have been playing probably one tournament or two tournaments. And then, you know, by the time they realize how things are going, 3 games went by, that's 40% of the tournament. So it goes a little bit to my advantage now.
Do you feel like your role, though, now with the Raptors is going to be a little bit more consistent with that role in Argentina? Like, it seems like you're one of the veterans there on that team. You're asked to score a lot. Here, obviously, not as much scoring, but it looks right now, at least on paper, that you're going to be one of the go-to guys in the second unit.
Well, I'm always going to be the veteran, and that will continue to stick there, because I'm, you know, 35, I'll be 36 at the end of the season. So obviously I want to be one of the oldest guys on the team, in any team I play. But that's okay. So that won't change. That will be part of my role from now on until the end of my career. And hopefully I'm going to be able to continue on the same, even if it's not the same role, exactly the same role, continue to do some type of similar work
same
here.
Approach.
Similar approach here than Argentina.
You know, one thing that sticks out when you look at this team is that you're probably one of the only guys with real playoff experience.
Mm-hmm.
You know, obviously this group made it last year, but in you know, you think back to your Houston days and whatnot, like serious playoff experience. On those teams, they lost in the first round, then advanced in the second round on that third year, and that's kind of what this team's trying to do. What are you bringing from those experiences to these guys?
Well, you know, it's a learning process. You gotta get there. You gotta lose for you to become better at it.
Yeah.
And you know, those teams that it seems like no matter how good the other team is, you got the feeling watching the series that at the end of the day they will always win. Like San Antonio type of teams,
yeah.
you know, Boston a couple of years ago, Lakers a couple of years ago, those teams that you always look like they're going to win. And I believe big part of that is experience, being through it, you know, having lost in the first round, having lost in the second round, having lost in the final. And that's a good thing. A good thing this team has is that they have been there. And now it's time for the next step.
One quick thing about, last thing about the Phoebus was we wanted to get your impressions of Anthony Bennett now signing with this team. Played pretty well down south against you guys. What were your initial thoughts about Anthony?
I think he's a good player. He's talented. He needed to find his spot. He needed to find a place to be comfortable. He's coming home. That's a big plus for him. So hopefully that will help him, you know, take his career to the next step.
Hey, Lewis, thanks for the time, man. Okay.
Well said. Thanks, man. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Scola for the time. It was really cool meeting him. He was almost a little larger than life after the FIBA Americas this summer. Just looking at him, like, oh man, you're
all
amazing.
You're
like,
all starry-eyed.
Yeah, it was. The one thing you teased it going into the break, which was that you think that Luis Scola is going to have a bigger role this year than you once anticipated. And I think a lot of people are finding that right now. And I think one of those people is Coach Casey. He spoke a little bit about the starting power forward role yesterday that we kind of thought was Patrick Patterson's, but he touched on it yesterday saying it's still open.
We got to find out who fits better with JV at the five position more than anything else, offensively and defensively, Josh, more so than who wins the spot.
Yeah.
The better person may be on the second unit. You know, we got to figure that out. That's something we're going to look at. But it's not going to be a competition of who beats who out. It's going to be who fits better, with Biombo with the second unit. So those are the things we got to find out in camp.
Yeah, I mean, like when we were talking to Scola and you prefaced one of your questions with saying, you know, your role's probably going to be scoring off the bench with that second unit. Right there, I was thinking, I think this guy could be a starter. I think it's a real possibility.
So this is why I think that it doesn't, this is why I think it makes sense to start Patterson. Twofold reasoning. One is
Fold
that,
away.
Is that, Dwayne said it right off the top. He said it's going to be who fits better with JV. And Patterson has the leg up on Scola. Scola was on Brady and Walker yesterday as well. He jumped on quickly for a couple of minutes at the top of our 1 o'clock hour. And he just said, like, he hasn't had a chance to, like, his initial impressions of JV, he literally said he's big. It's like he hasn't had a chance to play with him yet because he hasn't had a chance to see him.
Training camp starts today in Vancouver.
Right.
So that's when they're going to start. Yeah.
So Patterson already has the leg up on playing with JV. Two is that I think, like, they want to make JV, Casey talked about keeping JV in during late game situations a little bit more this season. And I think that we want to see, and Kyle Lowry talked about maybe not always being the go-to guy. I think we're going to see a bit more JV offensively this season. And it just seems more likely to me that you put Patterson out in a corner and let him shoot threes and space the floor and let JV have the block. And instead of having Luis Scola, who also likes to do a lot of work off the block and also likes to touch the ball. Like we've talked about this before. He's a little bit of a black hole. Like, I just don't think that there's enough touches if you have Luis Scola on the floor with JV, DeRozan, Kyle.
That's the strongest argument against Scola in the starting
lineup.
That's
what I mean. I think that Patterson's the more natural, he's a guy who's more natural to defer. And I think he's a better floor spacer.
Like all I'm saying, and I think you're right on,
and a better defender perimeter wise. So I just think that there's way too much that leans towards Patterson right now to think that it's going to be Scola.
Yeah, my point was basically just that. I just don't think it's, you know, I think it's still completely up in the air.
Casey
his mind
said that.
Anyway, yeah.
He
kind of confirmed that.
We're gonna take
the interesting thing he said, though, was about kind of the distribution of depth. And he mentioned how, you know, it might be worthwhile to have the better player on the second unit. And I think he's referring to Patterson when he says that. So that's just another kind of school of thought is to make sure, you know, your bench isn't necessarily your second tier guys.
Hey, it's not a bad point.
Hey, we saw the Warriors with like Iguodala.
Well, I was going to say though, the Raptors try to start Patterson. I know it's one game, but I remember last year the Raptors starting Patterson against the Warriors, thinking it was going to give them an edge, and I thought it totally kind of discombobulated them. And the Warriors are great.
Yeah.
Didn't just have to do with that, but the Warriors came in and kicked their teeth in. Yeah. Like, immediately, the game was over in the first quarter, which rarely happens in a basketball game. And Patterson started that game with that exact unit.
Yeah, I don't know how much I'm going to read into that one
no,
game.
No, I know. I'm just saying that
point taken.
He can be a guy that, you know, is more of a focal point in the second unit. He's proven that he works there. I just think that even with Bambo, a guy who's limited offensively, you want to have a guy that can work in off the ball. I think that Scola fits better with Bambo as well, and he's proven to be a better scoring option than Patterson has at this point of his career. Well, so I think you want to have that scoring punch in your second unit with him there.
That's what makes this week so interesting as these things get decided or figured out in training camp, get closer to a decision. Hey, real quick, I mean, just other thoughts on Media Day. I mean, we got to see all the guys. We got to talk to most of them. Well, what stuck out for you? I mean, there's one obvious kind of takeaway.
Yeah, Kyle Lowry.
Kyle Lowry's half the size.
Yeah. Kyle Lowry was more upbeat and more honest than I've ever seen or heard him.
Yeah, I wonder, like, there's a, what do they call it, endorphin rush, you know, when you work out or when you exercise, you know, you feel good after. And it's like a chemical.
Yeah, you've been telling me all about that, your yoga these days.
Yeah, it's a chemical reaction your body has to that kind of stuff. I don't know if that's going to be happening so, like, long term. I don't know if that's the explanation for why he was in a great mood.
Either way, he was brutally honest.
He was not only honest, but he was like I said at the top, like, jovial. You know? Like, he was clowning around. You know, we did the FAQs, and we'll play his at.
Yeah, I didn't get a chance to hear it yet, as
of. But I just got to bring up one of the answers he had, which was amazing, which was that. One of the questions was, have you ever been mistaken for a famous person or a celebrity? And he goes, yeah, the Pillsbury Doughboy. Like, he's got a good sense of humor about this whole, like, new situation.
Also, we just want to be very careful.
You're supposed to laugh there, even if you didn't find that funny.
We just want to be very careful now because, you know, Kyle did say at Media Day yesterday, he's like, I hear everything. I read everything.
He said it. It was his joke.
Yeah, I know. It was nuts. Actually,
and I'm saying, Kyle, that was
funny. Do we have that clip?
Nope.
Kyle Lowry saying, I hear everything.
Because I read everything. I see everything. Everybody that write everything, I read it. So
you read everything that was written about you?
I know everything. I know every person that says something bad about me. So, you know, but it's part of the game. It's part of the business.
What the hell kind of follow-up question was that?
I don't know.
I read everything. Everything. I see it all. I read it all. Everything. So you read everything?
Yeah.
I don't know who asked that. Like, but
no, but that's funny to me because whoever asked that is like, in my mind, he's like, oh, shit. You read that one thing I wrote about how I call you all those names? Even that one time when I... that's that guy. 100%.
For sure.
Yeah, and Kyle's like, everything.
Yeah, Kyle looked great. He was in a great mood. It's going to be really cool to see how his kind of new look translates on the court. I don't know if we're making too big of a deal of it or not.
Okay.
Because he really is kind of transformed physically.
One of the things... I mean, the body thing is obviously what you see right away with Kyle.
Yeah.
But the other thing that he talked about during Media Day, which I thought was really big, was, again, being a guy who said that he reflected a lot with friends and family. He went and watched a lot of tape. Mm-hmm. He knows that sometimes he doesn't have to be the number one option, like that he has to defer a little bit more. His shot selection needs to improve. And if some of that really translates to the floor, I think that's the big thing with Kyle Lowry. And that's the exciting part.
And it was interesting to hear him. He acknowledged kind of that having to try to keep up with John Wall was kind of an eye-opening experience. The fact that how much he struggled. Everyone's going to struggle because he's just faster than 99% of players.
Yeah, we just said he's the fastest player in the league.
Maybe Westbrook gives him a run for his money. I don't know. But yeah, like
Rondo.
I think that was another reason that made him think, you know, I really got to change something here this summer. And as everyone said, you know, the team didn't ask him to do that. He did that himself. So it'll be interesting to see what happens.
Yeah, something?
What?
I was going to say other quick Media Day takeaways. Damari Carroll just seems like he fits right in.
Carroll, yeah, he looks right in that jersey. Yeah, he looks like he's been there for a while. Seem to be getting along with the guys. I don't know. I just think everyone seemed to be ready to get this thing going already, which is exactly how I feel. Like, let's get to it. Let's see. Let's stop the talk. Let's see what actually happens. But outside of Toronto, there was some other cool Media Day stuff. I just want to get to this super quick before we wrap up here. Kevin Garnett, just the greatest quote in the league. He was at it again at Media Day.
We're going to use this quote a lot.
In Minnesota. I think so. Because it touches back on the Raptors, too, and it's good old Sam Mitchell. Let's hear what Kevin Garnett had to say.
I get tired of all these Toronto Raptors stories about, man, I'm Toronto. I don't want to hear that shit, you know.
I love KG.
He's talking about people referencing Sam Mitchell's time in Toronto.
Yeah, well, you know why? Because when you look back at it, that's the only kind of real, like, bright spot of his coaching career, right?
I feel like when I...
Because that's when he's... I could see him being in the Minnesota locker room being like, guys, when I took the Raptors to the Atlantic Division title... You know, and guys just kind of rolling their eyes and say, all right, we know, we know.
I think for me, that clip really resonates because whenever I go anywhere, I think I go up to people and go, I'm from Toronto. And feel like, oh, great, this guy, Toronto guy. Yeah, that was pretty funny. Also, from around the league, thought a couple of other quick things. Paul George's hair is very real.
Yeah, he's got the Cisco look. Blonde.
That's happening.
At Eminem.
That's out there. Paul Pierce doesn't want to let his teammates wear Jordans.
Yeah.
LeBron's.
LeBron's. That's funny because that's not new either. Like, he had the same rule in Washington.
But that's great. I love that rule.
Yeah, pettiness is great.
Dirk wants to play a couple more seasons. That's mm-hmm. good news for the league. Derrick Rose is already looking ahead to free agency.
That's scary, yeah.
That was the one thing, that was the one tidbit where I'm like, ooh.
You know, we're going to do...
He would look so weird in not a Bulls jersey. I don't care where he goes.
We're going to do kind of burning questions looking ahead to the season thing, I believe next week. And one of the ones I really can't wait to get to is what superstar is going to be traded mid-season? I wouldn't rule out Rose.
I don't know. Like I said, it's really tough for me to...
Stay tuned to Free Association.
It's really tough for me to see him in a different jersey. But yeah, those are my basic things. Some guys were dancing, some guys were having fun doing
stuff. Yeah, it's media day. It's cool.
But it was fun. And it's a good distraction. This was a fun show.
This was fun. Just some quick things before we get out. On sportsnet.ca this week, we got plenty of Raptors and NBA content. Make sure you check out Michael Grange writing on the new look Kyle Lowry and what it all means. You know, the FAQs we do, we'll also be releasing those in video form. We call it Know Your Raptors. So make sure you check those out. I mentioned the burning questions that we're going to talk about next week. You can find the answers to some of those on sportsnet.ca. This week, we got a bunch of SN basketball folk answering those questions. Myself, Donovan Bennett, Evan Rosser, Eric Smith, Paul Jones. So make sure you keep tuned for that. Also,
they don't invite me to that stuff. They're just like, stay out. No one cares.
Well, I wasn't sure if you can like read or write and whatnot. I know you can talk, but... open invitation, JD. Open invitation. Anytime. Before we go, though, I want to also mention that, you know, our baseball brothers in the Sportsnet podcast network, if you want to call it that, at the Letters, make sure you check out their show on Tuesday today. It's Arden Zwelling, Ben Nicholson Smith talking with Stephen Brunt as the Blue Jays get closer to the playoffs. Am I missing anything, JD?
Well, I just want to say, if you don't love Ben Nicholson Smith, like, something's wrong with you.
Yeah, Ben's a great guy.
Oh, what a sweetheart.
Harden's good dude too. Stephen Brunt, legend.
Oh, I don't know.
I'll tell you who he is after the show. Listen, this has been fun. Remember, you can check us out on iTunes. Subscribe, tell your friends, leave comments, all that good stuff. Like JD said, this has been fun. You're listening to Free Association, and now you're not.
We in between heaven and hell. Up 9 to 5, I'd rather end up dead or in jail. American ninja to these obstacles, no stopping me. We on the move, your mouth running like sour. Keep your head to yourself. I work harder than anybody you know. I'm done with tricks, don't need no money to blow. Deadly aim, self-contained, superstar, they yell the name. Blood diamonds, finna go to hell for my chain. A piece fitted on my head, though. Too high, you can't reach me with the cell phone. No goodbyes, no hellos. You don't want this life I live. You rather had a wife and kid shooting dice with Jesus Christ.
This is about all of us. I love you, people.